talking about the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on. In the video scope, yeah, I am looking right into you right now. Macho Madness right now. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. Macho Madness is on a roll and it can't be stopped. No, unbelievable. Time distortion. Space is the place. Me and Gene Okerlund go down that lonesome highway, yeah. But don't be hypnotized, no. Reincarnation doesn't have to be. You can concentrate and you can mental telepathy.
But,
yeah.
But the beat goes on.
But the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on, and the beat goes on, and the beat goes on, and the beat goes on. Jeremy, did you just burp? By any chance? Yes, the mic picked it up. That's Jeremy, who'll be engineering Radio Row, the session from downstairs, in just a moment. I would never do anything so crude on mic. These mics are powerful. Wow, he's good 10 feet, 15 feet away from me. Anyway, just heard from The Dictators with What It Is from the Every Day Is Saturday collection. That's an alternate version of the song that appeared on the Blood Brothers album. Kind of more raw demo version from 1978. That collection was issued for the first time on Norton back in 2007. And that, of course, goes to Ross the Boss Friedman of The Dictators and later Manowar, who passed away this week. So... part of that, Python with Pink Ladies. Group featured Warren McCann, later of Ultravox fame. They issued one single back in 1972, and it was reissued late last year by the fine folks at Supreme Echo, who seemed determined to preserve Canadian rock history. And we thank them for that. Anyway, so it is about, well, just 40 seconds to 5 o'clock. So I need to tell you that... you are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City, Rockin' County, 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Thanks for listening, everybody. That is it for me. I'll see you all next week. And until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned to WFMU and to Radio Row, live from Monty Hall, with the band Lou Tides, hosted by... DJ Abby from Mars, coming up right now.
The lights are out in Monty Hall. What does it mean? It means it's time for one of the monthly installments of Radio Row Live! Live. My name's Abby from Mars. You're listening to The Pain Mambo by Amos and Sarah. But soon you're going to be listening to a group that we've brought in today to entertain you all. This is one of those days that I wish that the radio was like a Teletubby and had a little belly with a screen on it, because this is a group that is super dynamic, visual, dancey, performance arty, costumed, all of the above, and that's all my favorite things in art. If you've ever listened to my show, you know that I love a good costume band, I love some performance art. So, let's indulge that today. Let's hear a little bit of The Room. Who's in here with us today? Can I hear some noise? And then I've buried the lead. We have today with us Brooklyn group. Brooklyn kind of solo project with a band formed around it and a dance performance group built around it. This is Lou Tides. Wait and see what they're going to do. Lou Tides, everybody, on WFMU.
One Humpty Dumpty, how he fell with a roll and a rumble, and curled up like Lord a loaf a crumple of the magazine wall, helmet and all.
Is this nowhere?
Lou, you see, weaponized chaos cannot be aimed at a fixed target. Sometimes the ones that summon the chaos die by its devilish hand. Stabbed on the Ides of March or hanged from a lamppost. Sometimes, often, innocents die and innocence is tarnished. But all is never lost. Energy can never be completely destroyed. Only transferred, only delayed or changed. Sometimes, rarely, chaotically. But still, sometimes the soldier gains a conscience.
But what is consciousness without conscience?
Desired ends cannot be served by contradictory means. And chaos in this case, in my case, led me disorder to reason.
Hump, helmet, and all.
If memory does shift with right cause, what is my sense of touching? How can one fiend wipe something so clean as my own sense of touching? You consider how deep the sick within you eats into my own sense of touching. Claim to my own sense of body. Like a fox puffs its musk, as if the vixen sees at dusk. Have you any sense of touching? Have you any sense of touching? Have you any sense of touching? Did you take my sense? reach up my sense of touching. A man can be a monster. Yeah, we turn as if it only once occurred. And he took my sense of touching. Yes, he took my sense of touching. In this paradox of strength, who holds it, me or you? I tumble out of you. It's so far away from love. And lone to me is now as it was before. And even easier to shut the door when I have no sense of. When I have no sense of touching. I hate everything about you. I hate your apartment, and I hate your sister too. I hate the way you make me eat in the morning. It's not enough to eat every single morning. And when you go down, how you make me feel up. I told you go down, so I can get up. I hate everything, everything about you, even the way you wish me well. And I hate when your eyes linger on my face, I swear I see hell. So I'm singing low, 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 low. And you make her gasp and go, ah, no, well, 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 no,
give her as a statement, and you make her gasp and go, ah, ah. You're my life, my lyrical, my everything. I tried to protect you, but your hands do heavy cling. I didn't involve in you with this strange behavior. I want to act like myself. I want to act like myself. I want to act like myself. Oh well, 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 well. And she just didn't step in. It wasn't just a maiden to pick her as a statement, and you make her gasp and go, ah. Oh well, oh well, oh well, oh well, oh well, oh well, oh well. And she just didn't step in. It wasn't just a maiden to kick her as a statement, and you make her gasp and go, ah.
Is it better to hold innocence, unlike a memory? A happy one to roam in the unknown, with a room for bliss and fables missed, and room to be shown. If you believe in it, does love materialize? And if you believe in it, does love only take one try? But when it falls, is it when we stop believing, or is it when we wake? And when it falls, is it when we stop believing, or is it when we wake? It is to shift a feeling. To remind yourself that you can soothe the sting. And then time becomes the ultimate play, dictating how each one of us will. Believe in it, does love materialize? And if you believe in it, does love only take one try? But when it falls, is it when we stop believing, or is it when we wake? And when it falls, is it when we stop believing? When we wake, when it falls.
Is it up to me to be it? Is it up to me to conjure it, to breathe it? And if love is only a belief, is it up to me to feel it? Is it up to me to breathe it, to breathe it? But when it falls, is it when we stop believing?
Curiosity often leads to trouble.
I just wanted to ask you which way I ought to go.
How would I know? I embellished coincidence into conspiracy. I was created, imbued with synthetic sentience, to sow chaos in service of what was intended to be a rigidly fixed system.
Oh, how he fell with a roll and a rumble.
A roll and a rumble. Oh, how he fell.
And reap some soul. It's a pain to lose the gain. Yeah, it's the same. Checking in to see nobody and reap some soul. Oh, it's a pain to lose the gain. Yeah, it's the same. Deep make, deep make.
Some of it's serene.
with a drink full and plenty. Now at midlife I glean for youth just like the men I despise, spitting out nonsense as truth, a bite for the unwise, just to keep myself alive. Yes, I'll keep myself alive. I lift my glass to say good night to whoever will take me. I'm bare, I'm bridled, I'm soothed by the trust of any, just to keep myself alive. Yes, I'll keep myself alive.
Who terrorized my adolescence now terrorize the entire world as grown men by the same methods.
Yeah, the mosquito method.
Mosquito?
Yes. A mosquito is a bug that flies in the air, and you can kill it, and nobody cares about it.
So their cowardice becomes cruelty.
The will to dominate is a struggle against inevitable change, against difference, against death.
So the mosquito just dies.
Yeah, that's the point.
But I don't want to die.
But you're going to.
So are you.
And so are you.
And so are you.
And so are you.
So are you.
And so are you.
So are you.
It's not your decision.
Thank you. his eye. Yeah, you lose your eye. Bad decision. He lost his eye. How'd you lose your eye? Lost it with precision. What makes a bad decision? What makes a bad decision? And inserts its mission. What makes a bad decision? People fight off all the two, leaving little left of you. Make for lasting decisions. Too many fucks in one night. After drinking and feel right. Make for lasting decisions. What makes a bad decision? What makes a bad decision? Makes for hefty delicious. What makes a bad decision?
So hideous and form.
Given free will, but with certain limitations. I cannot will myself to limitless mutations. I cannot know what I would be if I were not me. I can only guess. So when I say that I know me, how can I know that? What kind of spider understands arachnophobia? I have my senses and my sense of having senses. Do I guide them? They me. The weight of dust exceeds the weight of settled objects. What can it mean, such gravity without a center? Is there freedom to just invent or just assume a motivation? I would disperse, be disconnected. Is this possible? What are soldiers without a
This is live at Radio Row, WFMU's own Monty Hall with Lou Tides, everyone. Can we give another humongous round of applause?
I'm sorry, holy I swore. I just realized that.
Are you talking into this microphone for this?
That's perfect. Yeah. Wow. Electric, crazy, amazing. Holy cow. Thank you personally, truly, for making, like, reminding me why I liked music and performance in the first place. Thank you, like, for restoring my own interest in this whole thing. Thank
Best
you.
Best thing to hear. Yeah. Can you turn me down in the house?
How are levels sounding? We're gonna do about 17 minutes of just kind of chit-chatting with you all. So I'm just gonna do a couple thank yous first while you guys catch your breath, because
okay.
I know. huge thank you to Ruth for putting this all together. Big mastermind of the Monty Hall events. I want to thank Glenn and Gil for the sound help today. Jeremy is board opping. Big job. And then shout out Alan at the door, Vanessa doing swag, Bridget is another volunteer on hand, and Jody Peyote, who's on the playlist. Thanks to all of them. And I know you announced the band, but I'll announce you all one more time. Teenie Lieberson is the brainchild front person of Lute Tides. We have Sarah Galdes on the drums, Devra Hoff on the bass, Suze Murray as visuals and backing, dancing, and capturing documentation. Documentation
everything
as
else,
art.
Yes.
And Lena Engelstein as performer, dancer. Go team.
Who now has to leave to go to the Whitney.
We are not worthy. I wanted to ask. Also, I know you, both of you, Devra and Teenie are both also part of Sharon Etten and the Attachment Theory. Sharon Van Etten's project, so that's cool. Did you know each other before that or
no.
During that? That's cool. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we met.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is weird.
Yeah, because we really feel like siblings.
Yeah. Like we've known each other too long to have met. To have met through work.
Well, I'm always interested in how sort of especially an electronic project can start as a sort of, you can write it on your computer, you can make start by yourself, and then how does it become something so big? And so I was interested in your relationship as well. Suze, you're the sort of visual director, is that appropriate term? Coolest camera person I've ever seen,
oh
by the way.
Oh my God, thank you. I love to be a conspicuous camera operator.
It's brilliant.
I can't help it.
So the question this was leading to was, what do rehearsals look like? Do you ever, how are you all in the room together? Do you have the music side and then the dancing side, or how does that work?
It's very silly.
A lot of dressing up. For now, it's basically like we do the music. And then Suze, Lena, and I will often get together. And then Suze and I will sometimes get together and do visual stuff. Sort of like, because you couldn't fully see them today, but there's a lot of projections, and Suze has also done like live feed camera work for performance piece type stuff. So, and I think it's because it's like, when I first started making this music, I wanted to experiment live to see what things would feel like live before I brought it to the recording. So I kind of wanted to reverse the normal process, just because performance is so natural to me and writing less so. And so I also, then it sort of became, visuals became really important. And then movement became important. And so now it sort of feels like it's all part of the, we call ourselves a company.
Perfect.
A band, because it's like not really a band.
Brilliant.
But we're sort of like a company. But now we need a name for the company.
I feel like it's more like a coven than a company.
Are there certain sort of like threads you're drawing on, or like, are there examples of other projects that you were like, that is what we like gave us some this kind of through line or vision or yeah, who do you look towards? Or is it all just kind of like you each
Liza
have your own?
Manelli?
Heck yeah.
No, I mean, I do. I started, actually, one of my friends from high school is here, Sadie, who I haven't seen. Sadie, I don't think I've seen you since high school. Yeah. And we were in a theater program. So I started off in theater.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's clear. Maybe it is with the way I sing. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess there's artists today like I really appreciate FKA Twigs and how she brings in, you know, she's much more of a dancer, but that really theatrical live thing to performance. And if, I mean, I'm the type of person when I go see a band, I'm like, if they're not putting on a show, I'm like, why are we here?
Right.
Exactly. This is so boring. Exactly. Music is never enough for me.
totally.
And I don't know. Are there other projects that we've talked about? Fever Ray. Mm. Yeah. Fever Ray is a
totally
big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they also do a very like, their show was incredible. We went to go see it at Terminal 5, and it was like, it looked like a theater set, you know, and transitions and everything. It was a through line show. Like, there were no breaks. That also drives me crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead space, people tuning their instruments, like, kill me.
What are we doing?
No shade, no shade. I'm doing a Timothy Chalamet right now.
No,
on
no
the,
shade.
On
yeah,
the yeah. indie rock scene.
Tuning.
No tuning.
Tuning is so over.
Totally. Nobody tunes anymore. Anyway, sorry.
No, I love it. I'm so with you on that, by the way. On the latest record, Autostatic, which is from May of last year, you have this like super creepy looking persona on the front that's like all these prosthetics and stuff. Is that like, what is that character and what does it want?
Hmm. What does it want? Oh, yeah, what's the motivation? Well, I felt like that record, a lot of the songs were an old me. Mm-hmm. I got sober. I've been like ready to leave New York City. I never do. But it just felt like each song was sort of like a ghost story to some degree. And I wanted to encapsulate that in the character also. Because I didn't feel like, there was a part of me that actually wanted to like throw the record out. Because I didn't relate to it. I wrote it over COVID and just felt like depressing. And I was like, no, I have to embrace that that's a part of me. But it's the old part of me. But so that's why I wanted to kind of look like a haunted version of myself. Yeah. And I think that that character wants to be more, oh, this is going to sound so cheesy, but be more alive and less stuck in their own ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of repetition on the record about like getting stuck.
Yeah. This is one of the most sort of like, one of the sets I've seen that has made like depression content the most like party I've ever seen. So congratulations on that. That was,
I think that's kind of my vibe.
Yeah.
I make depression content fun. But actually, no, I mean, truthfully, I do feel like we all kind of have that in common where as performers, it's like we have to get...
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? I feel like that we all connect on that. We all, when we get together, we talk about heavy stuff, all of us, because the world is heavy right now. Life is heavy. And I feel like we all have to let it out somehow.
Yeah.
And like committing to a project and being in it together and feeling like kind of like a carnival is like the way to do it.
Yeah. For me.
A cathartic
I can't speak
carnival.
For you, but.
Huh?
A cathartic carnival.
Cathartic carnival.
The exorcism is joyous. The exorcism is just like...
Yeah, it's like an exorcism.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Can I say something about this?
Really?
This is Lena for those on the radio. I think also Tini is such an incredible like leader of this project, and we've all been talking lately about how we're all sort of perfectionists, and there's things about what we each bring to this project that we really care a lot about, but we all want to sort of leave space for totally improvisational, responsive aliveness. Yeah. And I think I've only been performing with Tini through this album. And the more I've done it, like, I'm somewhere else. When we're performing, I'm really here with you, but also there's a space to go somewhere that's important to me. Totally. And I think Tini leaves space for us all to do that and be, like, our whole people as we contribute to the project.
totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like everyone kind of has their specialty. They're like, you're the department of, you know, dance. You're the department of drums. You know, yeah. Yeah. Totally. And yeah, I see that ownership. Yeah, right, right. Version of that is, but yeah, it's awesome to see. How have you thrown out any other records or other large batches of songs, or do you tend to be a completer or a wait and see what is going to finalize?
I have another EP out. I don't know, with this project, like my old band, I used to release stuff really fast. It was kind of my way of doing things. And with this project, I feel like it's taking a little longer, maybe because I'm older, because I have to work a day job. but yeah, I don't know. And I think also because it's more conceptual and I want there to be a visual aspect, I feel like it's important to me to make sure that it feels cohesive. Yeah. And we've never gone and like fully like just made a record together. So that I would love to with them too. Like I want it to be more immersive. So if you guys are down, you know, I think we're also approaching this more like an art project rather than like making a record. So I want to see where that also goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool. Since I mentioned it earlier, the Sharon Van Etten project that you two are in, what have you learned from that project that you've brought to this, or even if you've not brought it, what has that experience given you? Or
We spent a lot of time together, Tania and I.
Yeah.
And I think there's just a conversation that just never stops, that just keeps going, that started there, and it's continued here about everything.
Yeah.
I've also learned a lot from Devra. Mm. I think Devra is one of the smartest people I know. One of the most educated people I know. So I feel like when it comes to music or politics, that's a big part of inspiration for me. And all of that text that we were listening to, all that weird, Devra wrote that. No? So, you know, this is...
We co-wrote it.
Yeah. Devra mostly wrote it. I edited it, you know. Yeah. But there's a lot of, for me, it's been a big like learning relationship and musically too, because Devra's a virtuoso.
That's
so
mutual.
That is okay, whatever. But you know, I would say for me, that's the biggest thing. And you know, like I've played some of the biggest stages in my life with Devra, with Sharon. So I think there's an element of like professionalism also that maybe I've learned more. Because before that, I was just like a, you know, road dog in a van. So
I forgot to how to plug in my own pedals.
Oh yeah, she's Diva Hoff, not Devra Hoff. I'm sure Tavona will love it.
Diva Hoff, Devra, I'd love to hear a little bit more about those pieces in between, and because the record is in some ways very personal, and then of course the personal is the political, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, how did you draw those threads together? What were you looking to do as you two worked on those portions?
Well, Tini gave, we had like prompts that we were talking about to make it more like a theater piece, to make the show like a theater piece and how to tie it together. And I mean, a lot of it's dealing with decay and how to survive when you're losing a war that you should be winning righteously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and which is, I think, what we're feeling right now.
Yeah.
But what's the word? The Humpty Dumpty analogy.
Entropy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about, you know, like a falling empire and then how that, you know, because I was also trying to relate it to the record of getting rid of past selves and moving through into a more confident self, but then that you're always pushing up against, you know, these things that want to keep you down.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, capitalism, all that stuff. Capitalism, yada, yada. But, you know, yeah, basically what you're saying, sort of like making it this personal thing into a much wider spectrum. And also like how it affects all of us in our lives as New Yorkers, as I just sounded like Mom Donnie. as New Yorkers. Low wage. Yes. Yeah. But just, you know, like, I think thinking about us as a group in that sense, too.
Totally.
Like, how these things are affecting us. So.
Yeah. Kind of a related question. I want to hear from all five of you on this. We have 3 minutes, but I believe we can get all five of you in 3 minutes. Just sort of the question, both artistically and maybe in general, but like, how do you keep going? Like, what makes you keep creating and keep pushing?
Each other.
Yeah. Love that answer.
I mean, same. For me, it's literally the people I'm around. Yeah. And honestly, like, audiences and playing shows and performance and just sharing things together and knowing that, like, we need to do this together.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes, same. Gathering and doing what you love and makes you feel connected to being alive, I think.
I sure feel very alive after what you all just did. Thank
Great.
You for that.
Depression.
and not taking yourself too seriously.
Not too.
Not getting stuck. The clown.
Totally.
The question was, how do you keep going?
Yeah.
It's more like, how could I stop? You know, I would die.
Good twist. Yeah. Good. Rejected premise. Lou Tides on WFMU.
Thank you for coming.
Again so much for that awesomeness.
Thank you.
Check them out. There's a record available. There's lots of great video online if you weren't in this room to see the visual side of things. And you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. We're going to take it upstairs pretty soon to Why Do We Only Listen to Dead People with Carol and Cullen. And I may be about 30 seconds early on this, so what do I do with the next 30 seconds? I'm just going to riff a little bit. I don't have as good of a voice as Teeny, but, you know. Heck yeah. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Just did it.
Taking it upstairs.
Gimbel.
And Colin Bryant.
Not that thing again.
Only listen,
people.
Harold, why do we only listen to dead people?
It's like an old couple from the 40s, like it's a Dust Bowl thing where it's like Studs Terkel or something, you know, or like some Ansel Adams. And it's like, Martha, why do we only listen to dead people? Well, because we don't be supporting this corporate music that's being foisted on the public. It's all just for commerce. Now crank up that Victrola and let's make some love. Crank up that Victrola and lift up my skirt, Harold. Something like that.
Yes, perfect.
Do that for your show. Don't do what I just did. Get actors to do it.
Okay.
Okay, welcome everybody. It's Why Do We Only Listen to Dead People? And today it's Why Do I Only Listen to Dead People? Because I'm Cullen Bryant and my better half co-host, Carol Gimbel, is out in the city of New York, playing viola in a rehearsal for something that's going to be a concert on Monday, tomorrow, I think. Anyway, here we are, and Carol spent a lot of time with me yesterday, helping me to make this interesting playlist. We're just going to play a bunch of love songs today. That's what I had the idea to do. And so there you go. I want to thank Abby from Mars and Lou Tides for their live show here in Monty Hall in the previous hour, and that was a real treat, a real joy. Thank you, Abby. Thank you, Lou Tides, for coming here and playing live for us. And so, you know, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to try my best today not to talk much. How about that? That'll be the day, will it? And I have a brand new computer, which is very interesting. It just was delivered to me yesterday. And so maybe things will go better than they have been in the past. So we're going to start off with, we're just going to play love songs, and that's it. Love songs. I mean actual songs, meaning a person is singing and is singing with love, in love. First of all, we don't know if J.S. Bach wrote love songs. I mean, we don't have any actual love songs, so some devotional songs. But there is an entry in the famous Anna Magdalena notebook. So his wife, was she his second wife? I think second wife. Anyway, Anna Magdalena Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach's wife, kept a visitor's book, you know, and it was called it's now called the Anna Magdalena Notebook. So when musicians would come to the house, visit, they would sign it by, like, writing a little ditty in it. And for a long time, people thought that Bach wrote all that stuff, but actually most of the stuff in the book was not